I'll have it up here on the big screen as well, and we're going to go to Psalms 91, and that's where I felt the Lord lead us, me today, to share with you guys with everything that's going on in our nation, in our world, the coronavirus, the fear that's just running rampant, that's just crazy. All the toilet paper, I wish I'd have bought stock in all the toilet paper companies in Charmin and my hiney's, I just think of that commercial every time, the sanitizer, everything. But I want to start off, I should even went there. I got to start off with something. I love all the memes that are coming up, and I've shared some, but I had to sit there and I had to like, Lord, this is serious. I mean, because there have been people that have died from this disease, this virus. It's just causing this panic, this fear that I've never seen before. And so it made me, I dug into Scripture, and I just felt like the Psalms 91 is what we're going to focus on today. And I want to start us off with this question. And I know I'm talking to the choir today. I'm preaching to the choir. But I know this is also, there's a lot of people going to be watching online right now, and we'll be watching this later as well, hearing this on the radio. But I want to ask you these two questions. What is your sole authority? Or another way to put it, who is your sole authority? What creates your mindset? Or let me say it another way, who creates your mindset? And then I want to ask you, is it the government? Is it the media? Well, we're seeing a lot of people's mindsets being created by the government, by the media. In our mindset as Christians, as believers, it must be God and His Word that creates our mindset. Amen. And we must have a biblical worldview. That's the worldview that we've got to have. Or, and this is what I want to say with that, or you have no hope. You have none. And hope is a person, and hope, His name is Jesus. That is our hope. And He's our blessed assurance. This is the scripture, one scripture that before we get to Psalms 91, in Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he or she trusts in you." Amen. We ought, as Christians, what we need to be portraying to the world right now, we're supposed to be salt and light. They need to be seeing us in perfect peace, not in panic mode. They need to, and when they see that, they're going to ask, can you be in peace right now? Because we have the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus. Now, when we get to Psalms 91 here in just a second, I want to kind of give you a little background of Psalms 91. As I was studying about this, and I've read Psalms 91. I've even prayed Psalms 91 over Jade and I and over you guys as well. I'll show you the scripture in a little bit that we pray over each other a lot and over you guys a lot. But I dug a little bit into the Hebrew, and I found out that Jewish rabbis in the Old Testament days, they would teach people that if you'll quote Psalms 91 seven times, like read that to yourself, over yourself, then faith will arise in their hearts. That's the one passage that they took out of the Bible and said, if you'll quote this and read this over you, faith will arise in your heart. They encouraged the sick to quote it, even in the Old Testament, to read it over themselves when they were sick. And something that this was really neat that I found very interesting, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar by no means, but I know it's a very rich language in how they write it. And when you write this, and this is what I found out, when you write Psalms 91 out in Hebrew, there's these little ticks over in with Hebrew words, and it looks like a sword. Is what it looks like, is what they say. And out of all the scripture, and the whole Old Testament was written in Hebrew, out of the whole Old Testament, Psalms 91 has the most swords in it. And it made me think of, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so when we read this, I mean, this psalm is powerful. It is powerful. It's got all of God's, all of his swords in it, I should say, all of his glory in it. And Jade and I, we always quote Psalms 91:10 over us where it says, "No evil shall befall you, and no sickness, disease, or plague will come near your dwelling or near your home." We pray that over us, pray that over Tay and Cameron and Jarek. We pray it over you guys almost every day. And but what I want to do this morning, and I never have really asked you to do this, but I want you to stand up and we're going to read Psalms 91 together. Can we do that?
Yes.
All right. We're going to read this together. I want you to read this over yourself, and I'm going to put them all up here. There's four slides here of Psalms 91, okay? So we're going to, and I'm going to read with you so you can read with me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that will walk, darkness, thank you, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. That is a one powerful psalm. This entire psalm, Psalms 91, is filled with love. It's filled with God's love. It's filled with God's goodness. And it's filled with the power of God, this whole psalm. And it's a great reminder that He faithfully works on the behalf of those who love Him. Every one of you in here today, because you're here today, I know there's those that are watching online too. If you love God, then you're under His protection. If you're His child, you're under His protection. Psalms 91, the key word to describe this psalm, I would say, is security. That's probably the best word to use. It's a... if you're in a crisis, which we are in our nation right now, if you find yourself in a personal crisis, this is a great psalm to read over yourself, to pray over yourself. It'll bring that security that you need. When there's two distinct voices in this psalm, Psalms 91, and both of these voices, they're speaking to a believer that is trusting in God, all right, that is a child of God. The first voice assures the faithfulness of God's protection, and that's verses 1 through 13. And then verses 14 through 16 that we just read, the second voice is that of the Lord Himself, who likewise pledges His watchful care, okay, over His children. Now, as I was studying this, I found out that some scholars think that David wrote it. Some scholars think that Moses wrote it because they say Moses wrote Psalms 90 and all this, and they go on and on and on. And I found one scholar that I was like, I agree with you, buddy. He said, because everybody's debating on who wrote it, he said, I know this, that whoever wrote it, man, woman, or child, was anointed of God. It was breathed by the Holy Spirit. They wrote it, and it applies to every child of God today. And I said, amen to that. So that's what I'm going with. It applies to us today because they can't figure out what it's talking about. It's talking about basically that whole psalm is talking about a believer living on planet Earth, basically, because we're in a battle. When you're here as a child of God, life is a battle. You're here, but you're in God's watchful care. He's got you in the palm of your hand. The worship team sang about it today. In this world, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation, John 16:33, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You're going to go through some stuff here on the earth. I can look at a lot of you, and I know a lot of your stories in here. You've already been through stuff. We're going to go through more stuff. I wish I could tell you that we're going to be exempt from it, or we're all going to go through stuff. But God is going to be with us through it all because we're His children. And so this is kind of the outline of Psalms 91, and I've entitled this The Only Safe Place to Be. And that's kind of the outline that we're going to look at today. And we're just going to go through this verse by verse, okay? And the teacher in me, as I was studying this, I was like, man, this I could break this up and this could be a four-part series. But I'm going to give it to y'all in one Sunday, okay? So this is the Psalms 91. The only safe place to be right now is in God's presence, amen, is under his protection. And really, there's only two points, the Lord's protection, and then the last of it is the verses 14 through 16 is the Lord's pledge. And so we're going to go through this verse by verse, and I see a lot of young people in here today. This is a great Psalms to have in your arsenal when you go through something. Just turn to the book of Psalms, go to Psalms 91, and read it over yourself. Pray it over yourself. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 2 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." Those first two, that I could stop right there and do a whole teaching on that, the first two verses, really. Because in there, you're going to see that what it's talking about, to be absolutely secure in the knowledge that God is protect. This is to feel absolutely secure in the knowledge that God is protecting you brings perfect peace. And that's where you got to be, under the shadow of the Almighty. It brings a confidence that this world cannot give you. You're not going to find it anywhere else. And in this script, in that passage, verses 1 and 2, there's four names of God. Two in the first scripture, two in the second scripture. Here's the four names of God. Elyon, which means Most High God. Shaddai, which means the Almighty God. You didn't know you was going to learn some Hebrew today, did you? And then Yahweh, which means Lord. The Hebrew people wouldn't even say Yahweh. I mean, it was such a holy name. Yahweh means eternal God, and Elohim means my creator God. And basically what he's saying, God in all of his character, all of his nature, has got you covered. He's going to take care of you. If, and there's a condition here, if you stay in the shadow, that means you're close. If you ever been in the shadow of something, you're close to it, right? You're not a long ways away. You've got to be in his shadow, close to him, walking with him. And then in verse 2, I love what he says. He says, "I will say of the Lord." And he was saying this because he was saying this over himself. "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust." He doesn't say, he's saying that over himself. I want you to catch this. Because he knew the world may not be saying it. The world isn't saying it right now. The world's trusting a whole lot of other things that they're trusting in toilet paper, for God's sake, okay? I had to say it again, I will say the world may not say it, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And that's what you've got. That's what the psalmist is saying. I'm saying it. They may not be saying it. The whole world may be going crazy, but I'm trusting in God. All right. Here's verses 3 through 6. And this is where he starts talking about the Lord's protection. We're still talking about the Lord's protection. The first of it, he wants us to get the understanding of God's character and God's nature and who he is. In Psalms 91, 3 through 6, it says, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." We're seeing that right now. The snare of the fowler is any trap of the enemy. This pestilence, this coronavirus that we're hearing about is from the pit of hell. You know, they've tried to trace it back. I mean, you know, the CDC, and, you know, thank God for all those people that are studying it and trying to trace it back. You know, the story that I read was they traced it back to somebody over in China that ate a bat. And I'm like, for the love of God, stop eating bats, yeah. Right? But I don't know if they're correct or they it may be right. But well, here's the deal. It came from the pit of hell. It didn't come from the throne of God. And so he's saying that God, he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. I love that picture. That's a picture of a mother hen. Jennifer Bourne will love this because she's a chicken lover. It's a picture of a mother hen taking her chicks under her wings. They're close to their mama. and she's taking care of him. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Not only a shield, but the buckler is a small shield that you use in battle, both of them. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And I was studying that out, and I was like, golly, what all does that mean, God? God said, I've got you covered no matter what it is. And you can, you know, I heard one guy, he was talking about the arrow that flies by day. It's talking about a spiritual battle. Stop, quench all the fiery darts of the enemy with your faith, the shield of faith. You got to put faith in something, faith in God and faith in his word. So this is talking about a spiritual battle. I read a story, and this is a true story, by the way, of a lady that a Christian woman, she was a child, daughter of God. She knew who she was. She knew Psalms 91. She had read it. She knew Psalms 91, this the one that talks about the feathers. It says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. And she was walking, that she was going to work one day, and she was walking to work, and so she lived in a big city, true story, and she had three guys come up to her that were about to mug her, and they asked for her purse and for her money. And she was single lady, and she said, I had just read this Psalms that morning, and she said, I didn't know what to do. I knew that God would protect me. And she said, the only thing that I could think of from Psalms 91 was feathers. And she screamed feathers three or four times in their faces. She said, feathers, 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 feathers. And she said those guys looked at her like she was cray-cray and took off running. And she goes, I don't know if they thought, this is what she said in her own words, I don't know if they thought I was crazy or if they saw angels or if they saw God himself protecting me, but whatever, God took care of her. God protected her. But I just thought that was so funny. Feathers, feathers, feathers. Oh, So that was a good story. Somebody needs to remember that. Just shout out feathers if you can't remember Psalms 91. The verse 5 and 6 there where it says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. We know whoever wrote this, whether it was David, Moses, or somebody else, they were definitely a Hebrew. They knew that who their God was. And because the Hebrew day is not like our day. You know, we in our day, in the Gentiles, we say our day starts in the morning. With the Gentiles, with the Hebrew, their day starts at 6 p.m. at night. And so the Hebrew day has four equal parts, and this verse reveals that each one is under God's protection. Night represents the time between 6 p.m. and midnight. Day represents the time from 6 a.m. to noon. Darkness represents the time between midnight and 6 a.m., and noonday represents the time from noon to 6 p.m. And so basically what the Hebrew was telling us, and to all believers everywhere, God provides constant protection 24 hours a day. I love that. Amen. Over anything that's going to come against you from the enemy. And what I want to say with this passage is don't be afraid of the things that you can't see. This is other things, because when it splits up night and day, he's basically telling us, I don't want you to fear the things you can't see, and I don't want you to fear the things you can see by day. You know, by night, things are concealed. You can't see them. He's basically saying, I don't want you to fear anything. Things you can't see, things you can see. Right now, we can't see the coronavirus. God says, but I don't want you to fear it. Right now, we can see our economy. We've saw the oil field around here. You know, we can see all the things, and we feel the effect of it. God says, I don't want you to fear that. I'm going to take care of you. I don't know how he's going to do it. But you're his child, and he's going to take care of you. Feathers. Feathers. But and here's the other thing: we've got it. Here's the deal: God gave you a mind. Everybody, point to your head. Okay, right there. He wants us to have faith, but he also wants us to act wisely too. Okay, so we got to do both. And so, you know, in Scripture, talking about God protecting people in Scripture. You know, I was thinking about Daniel in the lion's den. He still went in the den. He was still in there, and God protected him in there. I love the pictures where you see Daniel over there petting the lions, you know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he protected them. They still went in the fire, but God protected them. there was a fourth person in the fire with them, and that was the Lord Jesus, the angel of God. Amen. So now, you know, guys, and you know, some of you know my story, and I'm going to share something from my story here in a little bit. I had a boy that passed away. You know, and I'm like, God, where's that protection? Me and God's had that talk. God, where's that protection? You know, because we don't think God thinks in ways and sees things. He sees the beginning and the end all around. I mean, he sees it all at the same time, and that's hard to even grasp. You know, it's hard to even fathom that. The only thing that I know is the Lord, because we think linear. We think, you know, that golly, Dad and I have had this conversation. I'm going to live to 120 because the scripture says I can. If you truly read it and understand it, it says we you know, 70 is a good life. You know, if you live beyond that, that's just extension. But we're going to live to 120. I don't have time to teach all that. You know, but we think as people linear that we live. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday. Toby Walker's granddad passed away. Raymond Nixon, they had his service yesterday. Lived to 87, and Toby said my granddad had a good run. He did. That's a great life. But that's the way we think linear. But here's the deal. I had a boy that lived for 18 months. That's, to me, that don't compute to 87. And still the Lord ministered to me. He said, Mark, can you grasp this, that your son fulfilled his destiny in 18 months and never even said a word other than goo goo ga ga? And I said, God, I believe that by faith. He did. You know, we didn't sign up for that. And it wasn't because I'm under a curse, you know, or those kind of things that people, because we always try to have this cause and effect of things. And the reason why I said this, because about something I'm fixing to read here, Aubrey Anderson, some of you may not know him, but that's Cody Anderson's nephew. And Cody is a good friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine up at Mino. Aubrey is on staff there. Aubrey is their youth pastor now. Great young man. He's married, got a little boy. But he's been through a lot. And if you don't know Cody's story, his brother was the one that started their church, and his brother was killed in a car accident in the prime of his life. His brother was in his 40s. I never did get to meet Monty. That was his name. But I had other pastors around me say, man, you talk about a preaching machine, and he was just a, you know, just a farm and ranch boy, grew up out over there in northwestern Oklahoma, said he was a preaching machine, and said when he walked into a room, it was like John Wayne showed up, and that was just the kind of guy he was. And they had, people coming from all over to that church out there in northwestern Oklahoma, and then he is just tragically killed in his 40s in a car accident. And Aubrey was actually in the vehicle with him when it happened, and Aubrey lived through that. And Aubrey made a post the other day, and I put it here in my notes because I wanted to read it to you, because I knew his backstory. I know what he's been through. He had a dad that passed away in a car wreck. He was with him. He survived. Here just a few years back, he had a brother, I met his brother a week before he passed away. He was a Marine. He was tragically killed in a plane accident and a plane crash. And when I met this young man, I was like, this young man's going places. I mean, he's got charisma. He's got God on his side. I mean, he's a Marine who, you know, I mean, this guy had it going on. And then we were in a service up there and met him. And then just like a week later, this plane crash happened, and we went to his service. And then Aubrey's mother passed away. His mom passed away. She was young. Still too. And I talked to Cody about it, and he said, Mark, he goes, literally, I'm going to tell you, he goes, my sister-in-law passed away from a broken heart. She was healthy. She was completely healthy, but she just passed because of a broken heart. I wanted to share all that with you in reference to what we're reading here, because this is a Christian family, and they've went through this kind of tribulation. And they're under God. They're still under God's protection. God's walking them all through it. They're getting through it. Because we know where dad, brother, and mom is at. Amen. And so, but Aubrey is still here, fulfilling his destiny. And Aubrey says this concerning all this stuff that's going on with the coronavirus and people going crazy. And his post was, choose faith. He says, I cannot control if I get a virus, just like I can't control the flu or getting into a car accident. You have to decide, is God in control or not? You think God is surprised by anything? Why fear what you can't control? Let the world see your faith and not spread your fear. And I was like, man, that is a great word right there, coming from somebody who's been through it and still going through it. All right, let's keep going. Psalms 91, verses 7 through 10, still talking about God's protection. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. He had to throw that in there because sometimes when you're going through stuff and you see people that don't love God like you do, and you may even know they don't know God. They don't even know him, and they're still getting rewarded. This is what he's trying to tell you. You're only going to see that with your eyes. There is no eternal reward for them. You're the one that's carrying the eternal reward, not them. You got to remember that. Verse 9 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague shall come near your dwelling. That's a key scripture for today, verse 10. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague, no coronavirus, no disease come near your dwelling, verse 10. And then in verse 11, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. God knew that we would need helpers. Amen. That's what angels are. Now, we're not to worship them. They're our unseen helpers. Sometimes there's some believers that God has opened up their eyes to be able to see them. I have not seen one yet. I have felt them. I have felt their presence. I sure have. There's been several times, even here at Leedy, have left church, and I've had several over the years. I can't remember everybody. I mean, it's just different people. I'd be back there greeting people as they're leaving, shaking their hands and stuff. And I had one lady come up to me, and she goes, Pastor Mark, did you know that there were, and she saw them. She said, I saw them. She goes, there were two huge angels up there by you while you was preaching God's word today. I was like, well, glory to God. I wish I could see them, but amen, that's awesome, you know. But I have definitely felt their presence. And here's the deal, guys. It's not just when you're preaching God's word. They're with you at all times. All times. He even goes on to say in verse 12, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. This is talking about spiritual warfare. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. That's talking about spiritual warfare, the enemy. And so here's angels. We're not to worship them, but we know that they're there. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? And I want you to know something. It says in verse 11, for he shall give his angels. It's plural. All right. Even in the New Testament, Jesus said, when he was talking about children, he was talking about their angels. So you don't just have a guardian angel. You got plural. You got angels. Some of you need more than, you know, more. I need more than one. I want more than one taking care of me and taking care, you know. We're not to worship them. We're to worship the King of Angels, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're sent here to help us. If you're an heir of salvation, if you're a child of God, they're here to help you. And you can pray. You can say, Lord, release your angels over this situation. There's nothing wrong with that. It's been a few weeks ago. Maybe it may have been a month ago now. Time gets away from me. But I was showing a house to a family, and they were telling me that they just recently was in a car accident, and we got to talking about it, and you know, here's one of those deals, you know, God, I don't understand, but, you know, why some people like Cody's brother tragically died in a car accident, but why this one, I don't understand. That's God. God's in control, amen, but he was under his protection still. This family had this pickup accident, and I'm sharing this because I know it's going to go online, and it's also going to go on the radio because I'm praying somebody hears this. If you're a farmer and you need to move farm machinery, do it during the day. If you don't have proper, you know, to light up your, and that's what happened was they had hit a cotton trailer that didn't have, you know, lights on it and everything. They came over a hill. This farmer had just pulled out. He said, he told me, Mark, I never even had time to hit my brakes going 70 mile an hour. I hit the back end of this thing. And he said, in our pickup, he said, I tried to swerve. Our pickup starts rolling. And him and his wife were up front, and his son and daughter, and he has one other daughter, but she wasn't with him. But his son and daughter were in the back, and they all had their seatbelts on. But what happened was, for some reason, in the back seat, the two kids, their seatbelts came undone for some reason. Of course, they're checking into that, by the way, why that happened. But they came undone, and when they were rolling, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll share that. And just she said when they were rolling, the mom said, Mark, it was like everything was in slow motion when we were rolling. She goes, and all I remember was sitting in my seat, and I looked up, and she said, I see my daughter stuck to the cab of the pickup. She's up there. She goes, and all I knew to do was reach up and grab her and pull her down to me and hug her. And that's what she did. She goes, I didn't know where their son was at, what was going on there. She goes, and I'm just hearing metal crunching and all kinds of stuff, and they're rolling and skidding and everything, and they finally come to a stop, and it was on her side. And she goes, how I kept my leg in, how I kept my arm in, I have no idea. But the whole side of her vehicle is just ripped off, the door and everything. I mean, it was just ground right there. And they're up like this. And she goes, and I look back at my son, and we're all in shock and don't know what's going on. But he is still in his seat. And he's up in the air, in the back. Get this, with no seatbelt on. He's still stuck in his seat. And then they open the door and they climb out and everything. And they get out and she goes, we're all in shock and I don't know what's going on. She goes, that never dawned on me until I thought about it later. But their little boy, when they got out, he was running around to his mom and dad and letting them know he's okay. It was a miracle of God. They just had little scratches and bruises. That was it. But the little boy was coming up to his mom and dad and said his eyes were like this big around. And he said, I don't know. He goes, Mom and Dad, somebody was holding me in my seat. So I never saw him, but I felt a hand over my chest just pressing me down in my seat. And he said, it didn't come off of me until we opened the door and I started crawling out. Angels. Yeah, angels. Angels protecting them. God is good. Amen? All the time. Okay, and I want to read the last part of this. Angels are with us at all times, and we all have angels, and there's more of them with us than in the enemy's camp. I want you to know that. Bible, you know, if we were going to talk numbers, I don't know how many millions, trillions, or whatever, but the Bible says that only a third of the angels fell with the enemy. We have two-thirds of them on our side. Amen. We win. Psalms 91, verses 14 through 16. We're going to close with this passage, this last part of it. The last part of this is God himself speaking. This is the second voice. It says, because it turns to whoever this person, Moses, David, whoever, whatever Hebrew wrote this. It says, because he has set his love upon me. This is God speaking. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. I'll set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And in this passage, God gives eight reasons why we don't have to fear. I'm going to give them to you real quick. I will rescue him. He says, I will rescue him. That means deliver, cause to escape. He says, I will protect him, set him on a high place. I will answer him. He'll respond to and speak to us. He's a God that hears prayer and answers prayer. I will be with him in trouble, in afflictions, in distress. I will deliver him, rescue to bring into safety. I'll honor him to make rich, strong, heavy with honor. With long life will I satisfy him to have abundance in the journey. However long your life is, you're going to have abundance. And the last one, and show him my salvation. Let him see my deliverance and my victory. And everybody said, amen. I want to close with a story, all right? Second closing. I want to close with a story today. The most contagious thing on the planet right now is fear. It's not the coronavirus. It's not the flu. It's not the cold. It's not even cancer. It's fear. Mark Ward sent me an article that Kenneth Copeland wrote, and I love this quote that Kenneth Copeland said. He said, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Can't tolerate it. Fear doesn't stand a chance when you stand in his love. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, you're up there preaching and teaching today like you've never had a fear in your life. Oh my gosh, I've had fears. I had a fear here just a few weeks ago when I told you when I wasn't able to be here at church on that Sunday due to a cough. I'm sitting at home and I've watched the news, listen, you know, social media. I had that little voice show up and say, you got coronavirus. You got it. You're going to be the first confirmed case in Oklahoma. You know, and I had to rebuke that thought. And I know it's funny, you know, I had to rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. Because that's how the enemy works, is through the mind. And for me watching too much media. Because the fear that was, that spirit of fear can that spirit of fear has been here since the beginning, since the book of Genesis, and it can stoop and get into anybody's head, even the strongest of Christians. It's a spirit from the enemy's camp, from the pit of hell. And I'm going to tell you, and some of you have heard this story before, some of you haven't. It's in our book, Hope Beyond Brokenness. I'm going to tell you a fear story that we've had. And that was one that just here recently. We're none of us are immune to fear, but the word will help us in that. I'm going to say that. It'll make us immune to it, to the spirit of fear. You got to get the word in you. But Jade and I, whenever I shared just earlier about our son in 1998, when he went home to be with the Lord, just before he had passed away, we had scheduled, my daughter had sleep apnea at the age of 4, really bad. At the age of 4, had sleep apnea because she inherited my tonsils, and I have tonsils the size of golf balls, and she already had them at that age. And the doctor had told us that they need to come out, it'll help her, and so we'd already scheduled her surgery to do that before the accident with Jaden had happened. And so Jade and I, after everything had settled down and, you know, life goes back to normal, and just this next, it was like a couple of months later, 2 or 3 months later, we was going to have this surgery for Taya, for her tonsils. And Jada says, you know, we talked about it, her and I, you know, do we reschedule it? Do we, you know, postpone it? And was like, no, we really need to get it done because of her sleep apnea and everything. And so we went ahead with it, and we went to the doctor, and and they make you as parents sign that release form if something was to happen. You know, there's fear right there because of what has just happened. And then we had where we were going to stay at, what hotel. We liked this one hotel because it had an indoor swimming pool, and this was the same hotel that we'd been to with Jaden the weekend that all that happened with him, and because we'd went on a little family trip. So we'd already scheduled, and when this is, we can't get away from the doctor, and she's going to be scheduled to be there the next morning early. We go to the hotel. I walk up to the counter. It's only been just a few months ago that we were there. Walk up to the counter to get the room. She gives me the room number and the key, and it is the same room that we had been in 2 months. And I know I turned white because she looked at me and she goes, there's a problem, Mr. Haney? And I was like, no. And so I go outside and I tell Jada, and Jada's like, okay. And I said, if you want me to, I'll go back in there and, you know, get another room. She's like, no, let's. And so as we got our bags and got into the room, we looked at each other and was like, we got to face this now we got to get beyond this. Because we both looked at each other and was like, we're not living like this. Well, I'm not going to live in constant fear of what could happen. And so we got on our knees and with Taya, and we prayed over her and prayed over the surgery and prayed over everything, rebuked the spirit of fear like we did today. And guys, I'm telling you, God gave us a perfect peace that next day. The surgery went awesome. We had a Christian doctor, Dr. Dyer, up there. And what was so comforting when we got in there with Taya, and God had answered prayers for Taya. Taya was not fearful at all. She looked at us and like, let's go. She was like, let's go, let's get it done. You know, she was all happy and excited, and we're just overdone, you know. And Dr. Dyer come in there, and he knew the whole situation with us and everything, and he came in there, and he was a Christian man, and he prayed with us. Man, that is so comforting when you have a doctor pray with you. And we had prayer again. Just God's peace showed up. God's peace was with us, and God answered prayer. And he was with us through it all. Taya still had to go through surgery. I was praying, God, just shrink her tonsils. You can do it. No, we still had to go through. We still had to go through surgery. We had to go through, but God was with us, and God gave us that peace. And here's what I want to close with today, this one statement. Living in fear or not living in fear, it comes down to this. It comes down to a choice. That's what it really comes down to. It's a decision. But that choice and decision has to be based on something, and that something is God and his word. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And you can throw in Psalms 91 with that. Amen. God is good, and all the time, amen. Look at somebody and say, no fear. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. Just want to make sure that everyone here knows the Lord before you leave today, and it's a real simple deal. The Bible says in Romans 10, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're all whosoever's here today. Doesn't say anything about got to clean up your act and all that kind of stuff. You got to do this, got to do that. It just says, hey, that's the Holy Spirit's job. He's going to come in and help you, and he's going to do the cleaning up and helping you as you walk it out with him. And so that's his responsibility, not yours. He's going to work with you and help you with that. That's what he is. He's our comforter and our helper. So I want to, even if you do know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up this morning. That's the first time you've prayed that prayer. I want to welcome you to the family of God. The very next step that you need to do is get water baptized, and we can do that next Sunday. Jada, will you come up here with me? We're going to speak a blessing over you before you leave today. And I'm going to go back there and greet you guys, and you can hug me, shake my hand, or we can fist bump or elbow bump, whatever your preference is, all right? Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, no fear. Fist bump. No fear.